This is quite a surprise to think I was going to be here in front of a packed church because of, normally this we get this for the leaf peepers. And I don't know, what's your adjective if you're eclipse viewer or I don't know what it is. Well, if you were around last Monday, you heard my April Fool's joke. And I told everybody, hey, did you hear that the eclipse was canceled? They were worried about the crowds. So that's what I started with last week. Carol asked me, are you going to start with an eclipse joke? I said, I don't think that's a very bright idea. So my topic is time. What time is it? So Nate asked me to speak, and he said, what topic do you want to speak on? So I said, time. And you all know Nate, Pastor Nate. I mean, he looks at you, and he just kind of like looked through me, and he goes, yeah, time. You're an old guy. You can speak on time. You've got some experience with that. So the title is What Time Is It? And along those lines, once I was at camp in the rec office, and I saw the clock and it was wrong. And so I said to myself, oh, I got to get the right time because of our trips and stuff. So I said, where do I get that? And I thought, ah, Tyler at the front desk, she knows the right time. So I call up Tyler and I say, hey, Tyler, what time is it? And she says, well, who's asking? I said, well, like, what difference does that make? And she says, well, you know, if you're Bob Peck, or Isaac in accounting, you have to be exact. It's got to be, you'll read the digital clock, and it says 02:00. Okay, that's good. And then she says, and if you're Jim Hammond in administration or the security guys, they're all ex-military. So you have to say the military time. So you say it's 1400 hours. Well, that's good. So she goes, who is this? I said, well, this is Jim and Rec. Oh, she goes, Rec. Oh, I'll tell you what time it is. You see, the big hand is on the 12 and the little hand is on the 2. So what time is it? What time is that? That's our question. Well, you know, in life, I feel there's various things that kind of show up that kind of tell us what time is. So I have some show and tell here. And first, we have, first would be a watch. So this tells us the hours and minutes. And for $8.63 from Walmart, and this is probably 25 years old and still working, I spent four times that in batteries. But this one actually says the day of the week. And in English or in Spanish, Domingo, the Domingo, that's Sunday, okay. And so Dom, but this says Sun, okay. And it's the 7th, so it tells us the day, and the hour, and the minutes and the like. Something else tells us about time, and this is a pillbox. Yeah, so, yeah, right. So right. That wasn't supposed to get a laugh. but anyway, no, so a pillbox, and it tells us like when time goes by. I mean, a week, 7 days. And in this, I keep my vitamins. I go through A through F. A stands for aspirin. B is super B, B12. They say that's great for depression, and it helps people like myself. And B12. C was my mom's favorite. Vitamin C. Vitamin C for everything. And then on the flip side of it, vitamin D. D is the next one. So A, B, C, D. Now D is good for skin, heart, liver, kidneys, difficult in-laws. I mean, D works on absolutely everything, according to a doctor friend of mine. The letter E stands for everything. And that's like a men's multi-tab. And Nate, if you're listening to this or looking at it in the Zoom, then yes, it's a senior. It's a senior multi-tab. Senior men multi-tab. I take that. And then F stands for fish oil. Good for you. And another item that we can take, and by the way, it just kills me how fast a week flies by. Another item happens to be a calendar. So the calendar tells us about time, time passing. So we have this happens to be 2021, and you see the calendar up there, illustration of it. This calendar actually has a picture and depicts flowers and flowers in the springtime. Do you have a picture up there for me? Yeah. So there's a picture. That tells us what time it is. So that means it's fall, winter, and spring in the Adirondacks. Yeah, so that's good. Thanks for that, guys. Okay. Well, I contend that there's something else that tells us about time, and it's really important time, and that is God's Word, the Bible. And the Bible definitely tells us about time, and that's what we're going to speak about today, and the how valuable that is. I like to just say, I'll give a little shout-out, and I don't know what the heck shout-out means, but they say, but that's the modern phrase, give a shout-out. So I want to thank, let me just say this, I want to thank Eric Balk, who did my slides, and the guys doing them there today, and Katie Borman, who helped do some of the printing of the slides and my Bible verses. So before we start, let's go back before the Lord again. Lord God, we do thank you for yet another day. We thank you for the eclipse coming up. We thank you for this crowd here today, for the blessings of family being here, and just, Lord God, just for so much we can thank you for. Lord, I ask that your words would be mine and my words would be yours, and that your hand would especially be today on Pastor Nate and on the Lift kids and on our mission family. Lord, use them all in a powerful way and give Nate a special time with his family. We pray, and safety in travel, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, regarding the topic of time, I want to pull my discussion from the Bible. Okay, that's where you're here in the church. Is what we're going to speak about. The Bible discussed briefly topics that both Pastor Nate spoke about and Joe Ciccarellis shared a few weeks ago from John 17, some of Jesus' last words. We'll talk about several passages as they relate to what time is it. The first passage is from Matthew 3:1-3. Thank you. Good. Okay. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So Matthew is quoting a verse from Isaiah. And it's kind of interesting that he uses that quote. And in doing research for today's sermon, I found that there were several quotes in Matthew that we're going to talk about that come from Isaiah. So Isaiah was someone that I studied, and I looked it up, and I researched it. And all I can say is, if you want to learn the Bible, then you just ask Nate to do a sermon. And then you have to study, and you'll have to learn all kinds of things. But Isaiah was the most quoted Old Testament prophet. His name says, "The Lord saves." And his prophecies about the coming of many, many events in history all took place except for just one. The only one of his events hasn't happened. But he talked about judgments on the people that were beating up Jerusalem. He talked about the captivity. He talked about the fact that King David was going to have someone on the throne forever. All kinds of things that he mentioned. He talked about the Messiah coming. He talked about the virgin birth. All kind of details he talked about. The only thing that hasn't happened is he predicted Christ's second coming. And it is going to happen. Christ is going to come again. And it is prophesied by him. I was talking with Jeff Walters, and Jeff said, you know, when you witness to a Jew and you're talking to a Jew, there's one book they don't want you to quote, and that's Isaiah. Because Isaiah, they can't refute the fact that all the other prophecies have been fulfilled. Except, of course, the prediction about the second coming of Christ. But all the other prophecies have been fulfilled. I find that fascinating. Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up out of the water. And behold, the heavens opened before him, and he saw a Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Well, guess what? That passage, too, is also quoted in Isaiah. Okay? Isaiah 11:2, it says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, referring to Jesus. And then God, preaching through Isaiah, says that in one of his prophecies from 46, Isaiah 46:1, he says, behold, my servant, who I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. So this is what is talked about in Isaiah, and it happens during Jesus' time. In Matthew 4, we read, now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. So that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, there's Isaiah again, what might be fulfilled in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people in darkness have seen a great light, those dwelling in the region in the shadow of death. On them, a light has dawned. And from that time on, Jesus began preaching, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then if you look in the Bible, that was Jesus preaching in that area all alone. And from that point on, he went out and started getting disciples. And once he got the disciples, at one time he took the disciples aside. And in Matthew 10, we read, these 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, another passage that is forecasted and predicted by Isaiah. It's fascinating. It's great. Later in Jesus' ministry, on his way to Jerusalem for the last time, about 3 months before he's nailed to the cross, the Lord is on his way, and in preparation for going to where he was going to go, he said, after verse in Luke 10, 1, he says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, to every town and place he himself was about to go. He gave him this instructions. He says, when you enter a town, heal the sick, heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Basically, again, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when they did that, they had a power. They had a life-changing experience because Jesus had given them the Holy Spirit and sent them on the way to impact that area. And it prepared the people for Jesus' coming. They had power. They did things they previously unheard of. They impacted their world in a powerful way. And then in Luke 17, they read, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to you in their name. And Jesus is saying that, you know, my Holy Spirit was on you. You're doing great things. But rejoice also that the Lord is using you. So that's powerful. And that's the way it should be, and that's the way it can be today. So when you ask, what time is it? What time is it? I tell you, it's something that we as believers, as a bunch of believers, we can impact our world, our area, our town, right where we live, right where we work. And God can work in His Holy Spirit through us. If we've repented and asked Christ into our lives, we have great power available to us. That makes all the difference in the world. The Holy Spirit was coming back in those days, and we know that it was delivered through when Jesus sent it for on Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came then, and that time is still now. From Pentecost to now, we have power that we can impact our world, and it's the same power that was active in Jesus' day, and it very, very impactful. And Jesus later in his final discourse to his disciples, and Joe Ciccarella talked about this when he said when Jesus said the prayer to his Father God for all of us, and he stated and he promising that the Holy Spirit would come. And if Jesus' final discourse, he said, hey, it's going to come. It's going to come. Now you have to go to Galilee first, but listen, the Holy Spirit is going to come. It's going to be a comforter. And I'd like to just And the question would be, what time is that for us in our lives? Because if we have the Holy Spirit, we should be seeing powerful things happen. And I just want to share that I kind of think it was something that happened recently here. And Samantha DeRozier, Stacy Brooks, and then I have a list here. Also Alexandra DeRozier, Gabby Warner, Susan Martin, Virginia Metzel, and Bobby Lynn Hoover. All these people got together and they put on a phenomenal dinner for the family of Cindy Whitman. And Cindy Whitman passed away, for those who don't know her, but she passed away and left the family in a pretty bad way. But I feel the Holy Spirit moved in a powerful way. And that family was very, very blessed by the huge outpouring of love and support. I don't know how the whole event got started, but the Holy Spirit must have prompted them and other people to get involved, and it happened. I know we should expect the Holy Spirit to be moving now in this kingdom of heaven period, which is right now. We can expect that. Our world needs, and we have the power to be available for through the Holy Spirit, for us to empower us to serve others. I love one of Ron Klein. Ron Klein was a speaker at Camp of the Woods, and he had great stuff to share. And he used to say, now, when you hear about the need of a Sunday school, they need a Sunday school teacher, they need a youth worker, they need someone in the nursery, or they need someone to set up coffee time, and or they volunteer for this event or fix that. And you feel a little nudge. Now, where do you think that nudge is coming from? It's not from Satan. That's for sure. It's not from Satan at all. No, that Holy Spirit is nudging us. And I have to just share with you that it's happened to me too. I was reading a book on discipleship a few months ago, and relating to the TTI ministry that Camp of the Woods supports. And reading about discipleship, and I was sharing some stuff with Nate, and Nate shared with me, he said, hey, how'd you like to meet with another guy? How'd you like to have some sharing time with him and start a little men's group? Well, one started, and next thing you know, there was two, and it's kind of grown, and there's other interests. But I have to tell you, through the Holy Spirit, we have seen prayer answered, prayers that we have prayed for, the three of us. We have seen just neat activities going on. I can't relate to all of them. I can't share it all, but we have seen it. And it's powerful what God is doing. And this was just something that happened because God kind of nudged me. Said, hey, give up another morning. Just the one morning. We have a men's group on Friday, but he just nudged me. And so I said, okay, we'll do it. So we're doing Tuesday morning now with this men's group. And I got to tell you, the kingdom of heaven is now, because what's going on, it just blows me away as we pray for each other, as we're touched by each other, as we're seeing what's happening and what God is doing. And that's it. So I would like to encourage all of us. I'd like to encourage all of us in my message today just to say, what is God asking you to do? What is he telling you to do? And because the kingdom of heaven is now and is going forward. A while back, Pastor Nate referred to the kingdom of heaven. And he referred to this going to Matthew 13, verse 44 through 46. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then he, in his joy, he goes, sells all that he has, and buys that field. The kingdom of heaven, we are in that time, and it's valuable. It's a great time for us to try to touch other people and impact other people. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who's in search of fine pearls, and who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all he had and bought it. These are all illustrations of the value, the power of the kingdom of heaven. And its importance to Jesus and to God. Because Jesus taught those. Those are his teachings. Joe Ciccarella shared a few weeks ago about Jesus' priestly prayer and some of his last words. I just want to share something about that. And he said, from John 17, we read what Jesus said. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. And I want to tell you that oneness in this fragmented, hurting, conflict-filled world makes a huge difference. When we serve the Lord together and we're active in ministry together, God does great things. And it's important to Jesus and it's important to God. And it's something that we must take advantage. We have a hurting world out there. Basically, it's fragmented, cold, hostile, hurting world. And recognize that by us being one, we have a great witness to them. By us sharing in our activities together, in our service together. The example I quoted from Samantha and company and all they did. I mean, that was a huge light to a community that some of those people know Jesus and some of them don't. But the Holy Spirit moved, and that's powerful. And we have to expect that. That oneness is remarkable. Absolutely remarkable in this time. And our light shines because of it. And we have to go out there in your world and my world. And while the kingdom of heaven, like Jesus started, remember, he started, he said, repent. And God calls us to repent. He tells us to get on the right page with him. And that starts with repentance. And then he says, from there, serve. That's vital. That's vital. And he says, preaching, he says, so through the power of the Holy Spirit in each of us, we can do great things. And that's what I want to share. When you see the clocks that say what time it is, and I just like to mention, did you notice the clock that was there? Did you see that clock? Did you notice anything about that? Anything different about that clock? No hands. Thank you. Thank you. There are no hands. The hands are missing. And do you know why we put that up there? Thank you. Yes. The hands are missing because we are the hands. God is calling each of us to be the hands and the feet to a needy world and to tell people as to what time it is. We're to be the hands and feet serving Christ in this world. So, listen, I know there's hostility out there against us. I know that for a fact. I know that there's forces lined up against us, okay? But that doesn't mean we have to back down in our serving this world. So what if you know, we all know people that need this Jesus, this forgiveness and this faith. And what if they think they have it all together? What if those are even our family members, loved ones, think they got it all together? You know, they're in a good place. Well, that may be true for them, and it may be true for them now. But sometimes there's a time elsewhere when people will need to know and know that there's others that care and love. And that's what we can be. So when you have people that have rejected you or whatnot, okay, don't stop praying for them, those loved ones. Be ready to serve. Be ready to give. Be ready to love. Care for someone else. Care for someone else who has some need and give to someone else. God is who God's leading you to and all this time. And I will tell you that your life will be a light. And it shows up a lot when we do it together. And there will be a time sometimes in other people's lives when there will be huge need, a huge time. That's what I wanted to share. I had a boss, and he had it all together, was very successful, world famous in many respects, actually took care of President John Kennedy and all kind of things. And one day, when he was 90 years old, 95, I called his office because I had to talk to him about a patient, and the office said, no, Dr. Krause is not coming in anymore. And I said, oh, whoa, what's this about? They said, no, he's just not well enough. So I knew right away he was sick. I knew he was going to die with his boots on, 95 years old, still treating patients. So I called up his apartment, his wife, and said, hey, what's with Hans? Can I come visit? She said, oh, yeah, sure, he'd love to see you. Come on down. So I went down to see him, and I'm sitting there, and it's kind of funny because when we're casual and whatnot, he would refer to me and say, call me Jim. It was casual. But when it was serious, he called me Mr. Rumsey. And I come in, and we're sitting there, and we're talking and chatting, and then he leans forward. He says to me, Mr. Rumsey, you're not afraid of death, are you? And I knew Hans was sick, and I knew this was a bad time for him. So I said, no, Hans, I'm not afraid of dying. I said, I don't want to die. You know, this was in 1996 that I had this conversation with him in the spring of 96, actually about just in February of 96. And he said to me, you're not afraid of dying, are you? I said, no. And then I leaned forward, and just through the Holy Spirit said, Hans, are you afraid? And he said to me, yeah, I'm afraid of dying. And so I said, oh, Hans, do you know why I'm not afraid? Because I believe in Jesus, that he died on the cross for my sins, and I'm forgiven because I've asked him into my heart. So Hans, that's the reason behind this confidence I have in the Lord. And he looked at me, and he had that look in his eyes like, and I said, Hans, would you like that security? Would you like that? And I said, Hans, there's a prayer you pray. You pray, Lord God, Jesus, come into my heart. I need you as my Lord and Savior. Please save me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And we prayed that prayer. He did it in German, which is his native language, native birth. I guess he felt God only spoke, you know, the royal languages of the German, whatever, but he prayed it, and I prayed it, and it kind of touched him. And we made an appointment. I said, I'll go see you in 2 weeks. The next time I'll see him, we'll be in heaven because of that afternoon. He died 10 days later, and it touched me because it was special. Anyway, I just want to share with all of you, if you're dealing with people that have it all together and the like, don't be discouraged. There'll be a time when they'll have some needs and you can be there for them. And use the Holy Spirit to nudge you. Believe the Holy Spirit can nudge you, and He will. And He'll nudge you to do great things. And we as a church have experienced it. We've seen it. We've seen how it's impacted our community, and we're going to continue. And it impacts us. So I just like to read something from my men's group. I like to just share. I want to just share something. I'm compelled to share what Rob Peck shared with us in our men's group from a book that he values and which he says really impacted his journey of faith. And it's A Gospel Primer. And it impacted Rob. And he shared this, and it just so hit. It just hit. And I just want to just read it to you. I got to tell you, we'll end with this passage. But I had to tell you, I believe in the 10th Beatitude that says, blessed are the brief, they'll be invited back. Yeah. So I would love to come back. I would love to share more about time. I'm not getting it all, but this is what I want to share, and I just want to read to you. And this is the inheritance of the saints, and we're all saints in Christ because of what Jesus did on the cross and because our belief in Him as our Lord and Savior. And he writes this, through the death of Christ, God has brought peace where there was once hostility, and He has broken down the racial, social, and economic barriers that once divided us before we were in Christ. And then he writes, hence, the more I comprehend the scope of the gospel. And what is that gospel? That is the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, repent, get right with the Lord, believe in Jesus, and you will say, that's the gospel. And he says here, hence, the more I comprehend the scope of the gospel, the more I value the church for which Christ died. He died for this church. He died for the universal church. Think of the value of that. He died. And the more I value the role I play in the lives of my fellow Christians, we're all in this together. And the more I appreciate the role they must be allowed to play in my life. So, that gospel he talked about is a call to repentance, believing and trusting in Jesus to forgive our sins, and using the Holy Spirit going forward to share the good news and the light. Let the Holy Spirit lead and empower all of us. Let Him help us help a hurting world. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank You for these Your words. Thank You for us being able to ask the question, what time is it? It's time for us to serve. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit present today. And thank You for this message. In Your name, amen.